Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here with the first of the Camp Notes series this year. On 7/23/25, the Ravens had their first day of training camp. 25 practices will be open to the media. I'm going to warn folks who are heading out there that the traffic for training camp is absolutely atrocious. It's something that's very difficult to get in, and the road that off of Lions Mill that you turn on that goes directly into the camp, that is very packed from end to end. It took a long time to get through that. So leave yourself some extra time if you're going to deal with that. It's worth it. The Ravens put on a great show at camp. And I will say a few other things. The changes to the building, and they've been kind of working on that during this offseason, during OTAs, looks fantastic. Looks, you know, it's appears to be all things they were working on are complete, and the building looks like everything fit into the existing structure. They've given themselves a little more apparent outside terrace room there. So nice changes to the building for what that's worth to folks. A couple players are absent. Jake Hummel, he had a non-football injury, as John Harbaugh called it. He actually cut his hand, he said. So he wasn't there today, but he's not on the NFI list as far as I know. That's just as unfortunate that he happened to cut his hand. Emory Jones, who is on the NFI list, was not at practice, and he wasn't shadowing the offensive line in a way we have seen from him so far. So I don't know when we'll see him, but I think the fact that he's on NFI, one of the reasons the Ravens did it was because it gives them some roster flexibility once the season begins. So unless they thought there was a chance of that being needed, I don't think they would have bothered with an NFI designation. So there are other reasons to do it. If you're going to keep him out the entire season, if he were to have shoulder surgery, say, the Ravens could derive an advantage from having an extra year of him under contract, which would be very nice if that were to happen, other than they need him this year, I think, in a lot of ways, to be one of their significant backups. Ardarius Washington, if you're wondering, is on the PUP list now, so he's not at practice, and he's still recovering from his Achilles. But he's on the PUP list. So what that means is physically unable to perform. He will start the season, I am certain, that way. And then the Ravens can return him, but there is a latest point at which they can do that. And then they have to ramp him up over the course of 3 weeks, and then he has to play at the end of that or be activated at the end of that, or he's moved back to IR, and I think he's gone for the year at that point. But anyway, there is... I guess they're holding out some slim hope that Ardarius Washington might be back towards the end of the year and ready to contribute to the Ravens, which would be pretty cool if true. As always, I spent a little time watching offensive line practice. Just a couple notes on that. Warhop was there. He's back to some more lengthy commentary It wasn't step in, demonstrably do the rep kind of commentary, but it got on Carson Vincent on some hand placement issues coming out of a stance. That's something where I think he really wants to see a particular strike point on an opponent, and that may have been specific to a drill. So it may have just been that way. Harbaugh, by the way, interestingly, at the podium afterwards, made the point that Vincent has done a very good job in the weight room. But I still think the Ravens' hands are somewhat tied in terms of what they can do on the offensive line. I was having a discussion with Ryan Mink about this. He was trying to think if there's a possibility they could keep a sixth outside linebacker by removing an offensive lineman. I think when you have Vincent on the roster and you're not expecting him to play at all in 2025, which I think is probably the case, then he already has to take a spot. And then your remaining eight guys, if you were to go with only nine, your remaining eight guys have to all be healthy to take advantage of the eight-man roster that's afforded to you every Sunday. So I don't see that as a realistic option. They could do some things with practice squad elevations that would fill the last spot. But I think basically they're going to want to have a 10-spot active offensive line roster, which is going to mean some other position, maybe a fourth running back, is not going to be around. I don't think it'd actually be a defensive player effective, because the Ravens are very set in their ways of going with 25 and 25, 25, 25 and 3 to be exact, among offense, defense, and the specialists. All right, what else we got? Warhop mentioned previously when he was at the podium during OTAs that we'd see some of both Holsky and Dellinger at center this camp. We did see a little bit of that today, without going into any depth on it, but it's already on the table there that we were supposed to see it. And it's nice to see that we actually did see it. Won't get into a lot of exactly where they're playing and whatnot, but there was someone on 7-on-7 in particular where those guys would have been in the offensive line group, but they were over doing other stuff. A kicking competition, big deal. A lot of people have their eyes on this one. Tyler Loop and John Hoyland both kicked today, which had not been the way they'd done it during OTAs. During OTAs, they were alternating kicking days, trying not to have too much. The entire practice, everything about it was a let's ease into this kind of day. No pads. Some of the drills had no helmets early on. In particular, they ran a drill. Well, you see it, but you really see talk about it being an opening day of camp kind of drill. The first thing you learn about is how to take the snap from center. Well, they did a fair amount of that. They took the snap at center and blew the play dead, even though it's 11-on-11 right till then. And so they're trying to get the players to do a few things: get the play call, get to the line of scrimmage quickly, get set so that other things can be done there, then snap the ball and make sure people are off the ball quickly, but that nobody's making any physical contact and they don't have their helmets on. So that would have been a really bad thing. And it was a drill, I think, that went reasonably smoothly. There weren't any, bad snaps that I noted, but it gives you the sense of the ease the players into it. The other thing is the practice is only an hour and a half long. That's very, very short for an NFL practice. So, they moved quickly to get to the podium, get people out of there. And the podium, I'll talk about a little later, but they have not really improved the situation at the podium. And I heard one reporter, I'm not going to say who, complaining about not really being able to hear what some of the people were saying. Part of the problem today was that there's a lot of reporters there because it's the first day of camp. A lot of people had questions. We'll get into the quality of questions a little bit later, but a lot of people had questions, a lot of soft kind of feeling, expectations, questions. But it was also with the kids there and, screaming for autographs and whatnot, it still is kind of a difficult spot where they have the podium set up. Now, they did something extra this year that may actually be causing the players and John Harbaugh to talk softer, and that is they seem to be projecting the sound from the podium over to the autograph area. And so that's an interesting little twist of thing. They hadn't done that before, but John was actually surprised by it. He got up there and he heard, this all of a sudden he's being projected all over the place, and he reacted to it kind of in a humorous way. But anyway, that's what I saw on that. Getting back to the kickers for a second, though, they both kicked. Hoyland was good from 35. The second one, something unusual happened, and there was a ground ball snap that was not, could not be recovered by Stout. It just, in fact, rolled past Stout and Loop fairly far back, maybe another 10 yards. And obviously the kick was not even off. And so it's not on Hoyland's record. He re-kicked and made it from 36 there. He was later good from 28, 33, 38, and then wide left from 40. Now you can see there in six attempts, he's only got one of 40 yards and everything else is in the 30s. They didn't do the progressive, I can do it from 48. And the next guy says I can do it from 53. And the next guy says I can do it from 59. They didn't go through that mess. So today it was all about short kicks. Loop, I only saw him make four kicks. He was good on all four from 30, 33, 38, and 40. So, the big leg is apparent. The kicks were straight today. I wasn't standing right up under the uprights to actually see the whether or not those kicks had the good end over end rotation. But, they were basically in the center for the most part, with the exception of Hoyland's kick going wide left. Talking about other players, there were three real standouts in this practice. First of all, I'll talk about Zay Flowers, because he made the very first truly electric play of camp. It was on about the third or fourth snap in the 11 and 11s. There was a mid-range crosser from Lamar to Flowers. Zay immediately outran the defense for an apparent touchdown. Weave through traffic. The crowd really liked that, of course. And it was probably the biggest play of the day for the offense, certainly the biggest play for Lamar and Flowers. On that one, Flowers later left practice briefly. It appeared he might have been stepped on, and that comes from Jonah Schaefer. I didn't actually see it happen myself, but he's kind of limping over the sideline with an apparent foot injury. And then he returned to practice later and caught a short pass. So I hope there's no serious lasting impact there. The last thing the Ravens need to pick up is a foot injury or a soft tissue injury that hampers some young players' development here. Second player who really stood out, some of it good, some of it bad, was Keaton Mitchell. So the good news is he really seemed to be a big part of the offense today, run and pass. He dropped the swing pass by the right sideline, unfortunately, though. He caught a short pass, and then he dropped a long pass, which is not a good thing. It was from Cooper Rush, his 30 yards between the left hash and the left numbers, and he had gotten behind the defense to do it. Now, what I like, first of all, obviously, I like anything where they're going to try and make use of Keaton Mitchell's speed, and it's fantastic if they're going to try and get behind the defense with him, all the more merry. And then, of course, he dropped the ball, which is unfortunate, but still nice that they're using him in that way. And then he had a run play towards the end. He got stuffed on a couple of run plays, but he had a run play at the end where he stretched left and then reversed his field entirely to cut back to the right. No one could catch him. And it looked like that was going to go for a pretty good run, but they blew the play dead after he just was about crossing the line of scrimmage all the way back to the right after being stretched left. So interesting kind of day for Keaton. The speed was apparent. I think it's apparent that Monken wants to use him perhaps in a greater role. I think we could see him more as a receiver where he's been effective. I think we could see him more as a runner. So hopefully he has a bigger role. And we've talked on this show a fair amount before about how he could be a flanker or a second back in pony, whatever you want to call it, that might give the Ravens a really big misdirection weapon. He obviously brings what he does to the kickoff return game, which I think will be very useful. So good day for Keaton Mitchell in a couple of ways, if you can forgive the drops. And hopefully that's something he gets under control pretty quickly. All right, now the other star, and the really big star, was Jair Alexander. Jair Alexander had a pass defense in coverage of Keith Kirkwood. That was between the right hash, right numbers, about 15 yards, and that was more in space kind of situation. And then he had another pass defense where he muscled Dayton Wade to the sideline on a pass 30 yards down the right sideline from Rush. Rush didn't throw the ball so great today. Ball was really hanging up a lot. This ball was supposed to hang up. I would say Alexander kind of out-physicaled Wade to the sideline. I don't think this is the kind of play that looks good for Wade, but it also might have been like a pass interference if there had been officials covering it and calling it closely.
You ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything, from stress to sleepless nights, with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small, pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few, and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now, you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep. Shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/RedCircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/RedCircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/RedCircle.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
That no flag came out, and the ball was out of bounds. Alexander gets credit, as far as I'm concerned, for breaking up that play, for disrupting it. And then Alexander had one more good play. Came downhill for a tackle of Justice Hill on a 7-on-7 rep. Hill had just gotten the ball behind the line of scrimmage. It looked like Alexander might have caught him for a loss on the play. Hey, 7-on-7 rep. Are we that excited? Probably not. But good day, good first practice for Jai Alexander. Having him back was a big deal. It looks like he'll be a good addition for the Ravens. Going over what we saw from the QBs today, I think Lamar Jackson did not look particularly accurate in this practice. He didn't throw any interceptions, but he overthrew some receivers. He just didn't look as sharp as he normally does. He did make a couple of real highlight plays. First of all, the pass to Flowers that I mentioned earlier was right on the money, and it was it's the best throw he made all day. I think it was his second throw of the day. He also got the crowd going with a keeper running right from the mesh point. So the play was set up for probably a zone play to the left side, but it was a run that would have gone left. And instead, he kept it and ran right and got out into space. So it's always nice to see that. He was sacked. It was blown dead on some extended plays. Obviously, they don't tackle the quarterback, but they do blow the play dead if it goes too long or if the defense is too close. And he had at least one of those personally, and the defense had about three on the day. Cooper Rush, he seemed to be letting the ball hang in the air a very long time. And he hung out Tez Walker to dry, and I'll get to who had the PD later, but JAD had one against him. And the ball just seems to hang up there a long time. Cooper Rush has got to be more of a dart thrower if he's going to be effective in whatever time he gets mopping up for Lamar or replacing Lamar were he to miss time. We're in camp now, and during OTAs, I would say that the Ravens had the luxury to afford Devin Leary a number of snaps. Now he got almost none on this first day, and I wouldn't expect him to get very many from here on out. They've made their choices already, obviously, in terms of the contract. You know that in terms of who their two quarterbacks will be, one and two. And then I think that Leary will be a top of the practice squad guy. If he's taken, it's in a well situation. And if he's not, he would have a chance probably to develop into something more than that in the future. But that's unfortunately, he didn't get very many reps today at all. We got a number of other highlights to talk about. Marlon Humphrey pulled the ball free from Miller, Anthony Miller, about 5 yards between the hashes on a pass from Lamar. Very nice rip-free pass defense there, but that was good. Jackson used a reduced arm slot. He came down a little bit, almost like a sidearm throw to Justice Hill. It was right at the line of scrimmage or even a little bit behind it. It appeared to be a big play after the catch was in the making, so it's nice to see, you know, Lamar have some like magic in the bag on the first day of camp there that he showed. Talked about JED briefly already. He had a pass defense versus Walker on a ball thrown by Rush. It was 15 yards, numbers to left hash, hung up in the air forever. And JED was able to come over and make a play on the ball and knock it down. I don't consider it a particularly impressive PD for JED, although, hey, any PD is good. But what I really think it looks bad for is more for Walker, because that ball, which hung up forever, is one that he's got to do a better job of coming back for it, try to box out a player like JAD and make that play. And we've talked about one of the characteristics Walker needing to build up is the ability to have a comeback route or routes that amplify or allow him to amplify his value as a deep threat or exploit it in terms of coming back to the football and gaining separation on such plays. And he didn't do that on this play. And it's a nagging problem, and you know, certainly one we hope will fix. And I think we've saw more from him in OTAs in terms of his ability to come back for the football. So it's a little unfortunate, that play. And then JAD, though, disrupted a second pass with what might have been pass interference versus Anthony Miller. It was about 30 yards near the left numbers on the field. And he just kind of ran through the spot where it appeared Miller was trying to go through to get the football. I think under normal circumstances, and if you think back to the 2003 Seattle game, the play that set up the game-tying field goal was a cutoff play who was the defensive back in the time. I'm forgetting who it was, number 23 for Seattle at the time was the guy, Marcus Trufant. Was a hell of a player back then, but that might have been his rookie year. I think it was his rookie year. And he cut off Marcus Robinson. They called pass interference. A couple plays later, Stover kicked a game-tying field goal after they'd been down 17 points with 7 minutes to go, and they came back to win it in overtime. But it was that sort of a cutoff play that I saw there that, you know, it's good to see JAD close to the football, aware of the ball. The second one, there's less of an awareness of the ball. It's more like JAD doing it. The first one, the ball hang up forever. So, you know, there's some bumps and bruises, or that way, it's not the right word. There's some negative factors on each of them that might apply and make them not as great as they otherwise would be. But I don't want to minimize what JAD is doing. It's good that he's getting near the football and being able to make a play. One name we haven't heard much this entire offseason so far is Dywan Black, who made a nice stop of Marcus Major for a loss on a run play. I would say the defense really had their way with the offense in terms of run plays in this game. I'll mention a few more of those highlights as we go through here. But the next one's a passing highlight. That's Jackson overthrowing Bateman 25 yards down the left sideline. Close tail from Wiggins on the play, but he did not obstruct that throw. Bateman was behind the defender, and it just was overthrown. He also overthrew Cunningham 30 yards down the right circle with Humphrey in coverage. So, not Jackson's most accurate day of dropping the ball in the bucket, needless to say that. Rush was the quarterback who came closest to an interception. Keon Martin stepped in front of a pass about 5 yards between the right hash and right numbers, but he dropped the football. And just unfortunate for Keon, who needs to do everything he can to even make the practice squad for this team. A drop like that, unfortunately, won't help him. We saw Travis Jones knock down a pass from Jackson at the line of scrimmage. He immediately was up there celebrating it. Did not 100% see that it was him, but he certainly was doing the most celebrating, so I do assume it was him. And that was nice to see. Jay Higgins had a sack of Rush, a play that was blown dead after a roll right. So, once again, you don't hit the quarterback, but if the play goes on for too long, they blow it dead, and and Higgins was the guy closest to the action there. Nnamdi Madubuike also had a sack when he beat Daniel Falele, and a play was similarly blown dead. He also tackled Hill for a short gain on a run play that the defense is doing quite well in that area. Kamen Rucker is a guy we have not talked about yet, I think at all during OTAs, but he made a nice play to penetrate and wrap up Keaton Mitchell for what looked like a loss on a run left. So good for Kamen to get some tape out there. And then the last highlight of the day was Travis Jones wrapping up Mitchell for no gain. Like I said, I think that the defense did exceptionally well with their run defense today. And some of that is the way the drills are practiced. But some of it is actually, I think the defense is maybe a little ahead of the offense at this point in terms of knowing where they need to be, how they need to control their gaps and whatnot. A little bit from the podium. Again, the sound quality was not the greatest, but Harbaugh talked about his recent visit to the White House, said he roots for the president like he'd root for, I forget exactly what he said, but it was like some player on his favorite team kind of thing. He says he's now met 4 presidents, but his brother has met 7, and he got lots of feelings and expectations questions for the first day of camp. I'm always bothered when there isn't the opportunity taken to ask a really meaty question, but I realize not everybody has the same taste in questions that I do. I want to ask football questions. And there's just a lot of very feelingsy questions about what people are hoping for. And reporters, they're writing stories of all different sorts. What's it going to be like for this player? How does he change the team? How does it feel to have Jair Alexander here? Let's talk about what Jair Alexander did on the field. That's interesting. Let's talk about how Jair Alexander helps us with some shortcoming the team had last year. But anyway, I don't get my way on all those things, needless to say. And there are a lot of reporters there to ask questions today. Lamar Jackson was at the podium. The big thing about Lamar, he was asked about the collusion discussion, and he would not talk about that, which is the right thing. I'm glad he was staying quiet about that. He said he was happy to practice with Jair Alexander again, said he tried to test him deep. He remembers some play that I didn't actually see where he tried to test him to Hopkins. I think it might have been Cunningham is the one he actually was throwing to on that play. Lots of soft questions for Lamar, and Lamar was, just kind of enjoying it and had answers to make without giving a lot of very particularly real information about what was going on. Derrick Henry, very similar. And there's a bunch of questions about Adam Sandler and being in the Adam Sandler movie and getting 2,000 yards. And is that a motivation for getting an Adam Sandler movie? And what Adam Sandler movies have you seen before? You can hear my temperature rising as I'm hearing those questions, but that's fine. It's the first day of camp. What are you going to ask Derrick Henry about, The other thing they did ask about is his age and all of the things that he did this off season to stay fit and whatnot. And he said, you know, basically it's the same stuff. And you know, work last year ain't broke. Don't fix it. Roquan Smith was the last one at the podium. He said a couple interesting things. Most of it was not terribly football related. He does look big himself. Now, I won't say he looks fat, but he looks thick through the body. Not it doesn't look like he's carrying almost like a paunch, like it might have looked like he was carrying last year. But he went out of his way to say how Trenton Simpson looks like a Greek god. And then he also quickly included Teddy Buchanan in that too. And so those guys both, you know, are extremely fit, and he needs to get on their plan, is what he said. The other thing he said about Trenton Simpson is he's apparently been spending a lot of time with, is he's a very nice guy. He's the kind of guy you'd be happy to have marry your sister. A little overboard there, but okay. In terms of that, he did have also positive things to say about the new Ravens inside linebacker coach Santucci. And some of it, you know, I can't entirely hear, but what I encourage you is if you really have interest in the soft questions that they're asking today, the interviews are up there, both transcripts and the actual players asking the interview, which, you know, or answering, which is probably better because you'll get good sound and you'll get the good verbal cues that the physical cues that they give you when they're answering a question there. So good stuff from the Ravens first day at camp. Certainly was a lot of fun being out there. That's all I've got for you today. Thanks for listening again, folks. We'll get these out as quickly as we can after practice. A lot of days it may be the next day. I'm hoping that some days it will be the same day. And I'm hoping this one is out there tonight on Wednesday night. If you're listening this Thursday morning, that obviously didn't work out. If you want to do the show a favor, tell somebody new about it. That's the best thing I could do. If you want to write a 5-star, 50-word review, that's great too on your favorite podcast platform. Otherwise, greatly appreciate you, folks. And I'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.